Okay, we're good.
All right. Thank you all for coming. As I noted, we are recording this. We will transcribe the Q&A that goes on here, which will be incorporated into an FAQ document that is posted online.
Can you hear him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some quick introductions. I'm Nick Angarone with the DEP Office of Coastal Land Use Planning. I'm the program manager for the Resilient NJ program. To my left is Carmen Valentin. She is the project manager for the program. And on my right is Michael Kolber, who's a planner with the office and will be working on the program. Quick process for how things are going to go over the next hour or so. I'm going to give you a fairly quick presentation. I want you, everybody, to understand up front that we're fairly limited in the information we can provide that's not already available in the application document on the program website. We can certainly provide some clarification if things are unclear, you know, but we have to be careful about not providing anyone any additional benefit over other applicants. Some other things we can and cannot do. We will not be able to tell you right now whether your proposed project is eligible, right? We're limited to providing you with the description that is included in the application document. The reason for this is because if we tell you what we want or give any indication to what the department wants, that makes this not a grant and makes it a service contract, which we are very much not doing. This is a grant, so the level of detail we can provide on the types of projects won't go beyond what is included in the application document. The application document is posted online if you haven't seen it yet. Other things we cannot do. So you'll hear in the presentation, and probably some of you, most of you have heard previously, there is likely to be a request for proposals that goes out. We cannot answer any questions about the request for proposals. We can't provide any information about the request for proposals, including when, how much, or exactly what the scope for that RFP will be. All we can say about that RFP is you should monitor the NJ Start website for bidding opportunities. If you aren't aware of the NJ Start website, it's New Jersey's vendor procurement system. If you're not already registered there, you should. You will eventually need to do that for this grant program anyway. All right. So we are here to talk about the Resilient NJ, what are we calling this?
Program support.
Notice of funding availability, grant opportunity. All right. The Resilient NJ program was funded by a HUD Natural Disaster Resilience Competition grant. The program is primarily a flood resilience planning program. We are funding the development of four regional resilience plans throughout the nine Sandy MID counties, as well as developing tools and resources to further support resiliency planning, and that's what this grant opportunity is about. You should also know that engagement of socially vulnerable populations and communities is a significant piece of the Resilient NJ program. I can't tell if that's changing or not. These are the primary objectives of the program. So all of this is online. I'm not going to read it all to you, but very high level, right? We're trying to identify gaps in resiliency planning. We are trying to reach underserved populations, ensuring that we address their needs. We are trying to develop innovative but implementable solutions to flooding. We are looking to implement or advance prioritized actions to reduce the risk of flood hazards. We're looking to enhance the value and integrity of ecological, recreational, economic resources. This is a comprehensive planning program. And we want to ensure collaboration amongst stakeholders. So again, those of you who have seen presentations on this program before are aware that there are three primary funding opportunities in the program. The regional teams process to select regional teams is complete. That was, you know, issued through a similar grant opportunity in the spring and summer of 2018. Those four regions were announced in October. The funding opportunity that we're currently discussing is the middle one, the orange bullet up there, and is program support. And again, the third opportunity to bring on consultant teams will be in an RFP that we will not be discussing today. All right, so what is this grant funding opportunity? So first, eligible entities must be recognized by the IRS as 501c3s. There, I think, have been some questions, and if we have those, if we have questions, we're willing to have a conversation about other nonprofit designations. But the way we currently have it written in the application document is that it's 501c3s. The purpose of this grant program is to identify projects that further enhance or support resilience planning, particularly in the nine Sandy MID counties and particularly those four regional planning projects. Type of projects include research, guidance, tool development, training, communication materials and campaigns, and again, other activities that support resiliency planning in New Jersey. These specific projects, the proposals that you submit in response to this funding opportunity, are not directly tied to the four regional teams projects that will be ongoing. We expect that they will be able to support those regional team projects as well as resiliency planning in general throughout the state. There are five eligible categories that are all identified in the application. They are, generally speaking, engagement of socially vulnerable populations, ecological enhancement or restoration, risk communication, adaptation and mitigation financing, and innovative resiliency planning program support, which is a catch-all for it didn't fit in any of the four previous program categories. So if you have something innovative, there's a category for you. Again, these projects are not intended to directly support or directly tied to those four regional teams. They are expected to support resiliency planning throughout the state. All right, so the total funding available for the grant program is $250,000. The awards will be a minimum of $20,000 and a maximum of $100,000. And based on those numbers, we expect to award up to 8 awards through this funding opportunity. And by the way, we will make this available online so you don't need to scribble furiously. There's no guarantee that we will select a proposal under every one of those five categories. This is the timeline for the entire Resilient NJ program. Right, so on the far left, you can see that the back in May of 2018, the regional team applications were released. And again, we announced the awardees back in October of 2018. February, maybe it was March, we released this funding opportunity. The way that the rest of the program will work is that the actual work with the four regional teams is expected to start in early 2020. It comes in two phases, that planning process. The first phase is a planning phase to develop the actual plans, which should go for about 18 months. There's also a second piece of that which will begin to implement some of the outcomes of those plans, which should take about a year. All funding in this program needs to be complete by May of 2022. Go ahead with the question.
Just up here on the, are these calendar years or fiscal years in New Jersey?
Calendar years. All right, so if you're not already aware, HUD identified the 9 most impacted and distressed counties from Superstorm Sandy. I hate saying the word superstorm. The regional teams, in particular, the eligibility to do work, that had to fall within those 9 counties. The projects that are funded through this program must be applicable to resiliency planning that happens in those 9 counties, but can certainly be applicable to resiliency planning outside of those 9 counties. Specific funding spending categories that you can use the grants for, right, are personnel, right, salaries, fringe, other direct costs, supplies, printing, mailing, public notice, travel, indirect costs. So in this case, we will you'll need to use an approved negotiated rate agreement. If you don't have an approved negotiated rate agreement, you can use a de minimis 10% for your indirect costs. Note that equipment is not an eligible spending category here. The other thing to note with the Resilient NJ program is a planning-only grant from HUD. So at no time can there be construction, at no time will there be shovels in the ground. HUD has not provided us extremely direct guidance on how far we can go in the planning, design, construction phase. However, we are drawing the line in that we cannot do pre-construction work, we cannot do construction design, we cannot do engineering design that would inform construction projects. You can do conceptual design. I'm sure that I'm not using appropriate technical terminology there. And again, we're happy to have a conversation about kind of where exactly that line in the gray area is. But the gist is the products of this cannot be used specifically to lead to construction. Pete, go ahead.
Yeah, so that was a question I'm still trying to sort of, when you showed the chart, you had a phase 1 and a phase 2, and phase 2 said implementation, but does that mean all of the things under implementation are also planning?
Yes.
Okay.
So an example might be we identify the need to modify a master plan. The implementation of that would be the actual writing of the master plan.
Gotcha.
Okay? So these are the general application requirements, and there's a little bit more. There's more detail for each of these within the grant application, so I won't go through them in detail. The proposal narrative will be the meat of your application, and the general requirements of that are: we want a project description, project timeline, the qualifications of the people who will be working on it, and the demonstration of their experience and capacity. Your applications will be reviewed on a 100-point calculation of the following criteria. So is the relevance of your project proposal, so does it meet the objectives of the Resilient NJ program, and or does it support or enhance resiliency planning in New Jersey? Feasibility of the project proposal is 30 points. Can the project be completed within time and budget? And then demonstration of capacity, 30 points again. Do you have the ability to get the job done that you're proposing? Application submittal requirements. We want 1 electronic and 3 hard copies. Must be submitted or postmarked by noon on May 1st, and you'll be sending it to Carmen at this address. Again, this is all available on the program website. There is another opportunity for a Q&A session. So on Friday, right, that's March 22nd, there will be a webinar from 10 to 11:30 a.m. If you're interested in participating in the webinar, please email us at the Resilient NJ email address there, at which point we will provide you the information to log in to the webinar. The webinar will be this exact same format as today is. I will go through this presentation, and then we will open it up for questions and answers. You can also submit questions in writing. Again, please use the Resilient NJ email address. All questions must be received in writing by noon on April 1st so that we can turn that around and get an FAQ posted online in time for you to submit your proposals by May 1st. So this is the email address. Again, we can't, all questions should be submitted through this email address. As I noted at the beginning, the level of detail of responses is relatively limited to clarifying what is currently in the grant application document, which is posted online. We again will have a frequently asked questions document posted soon after April 1st. So with that, we're going to open it up to questions. I want to repeat for those of you who missed the very beginning of this, we cannot discuss the request for proposals that is associated with the program to do. We will not be answering any questions, but you should monitor the NJ Start website for bidding opportunities. So I'll open it up to questions at this point. Pete?
Can you give us a little more information about the regional teams? Like, who are on the teams and what have they done already? Like, what are the attributes of the teams and what, if anything, have they done already in preparation?
So I'm going to ask Michael to rattle off the towns and the regional teams. We're still working with them to get their subrecipient agreements settled. You know, there's a documentation and that we need to get in place associated with all of that. Again, we expect that those specific planning projects will start with consultant teams early next year. But so no official work has been done at this point. So Michael can hopefully.
I mean, they're listed in the RFP, the different towns. I guess yes. The question is it who in the town is it the mayor? Is it their engineer? Like, what level of involvement is there on these teams?
So the towns have identified who their point person is. There is each regional team has one local government that is a prime. Right, they're the lead for the regional teams. I think the personnel varies from administrator to their, you know, primary planner or engineer. I'm not sure if there are others, other
maybe
types of
resilient planning coordinator,
right.
Administrator.
But Pete, I just want to be clear, right? I'm maybe reading into your question a little bit too much. None of the grants will be directly associated. None of the grants associated with this funding program will be directly associated with any of those projects, right? So, for example, the Jersey City regional team, none of the grants through this funding opportunity will be directly related or directly involved in that regional team planning work. These projects come under this grant opportunity should be applicable to all four or most of, at least some of the four regional teams depending on the issue through the nine MID counties or resiliency planning in New Jersey in general.
Now, the reason I was asking the question was more that if we're being asked to look at what kinds of tools and resources to develop, it would be who are we developing them for?
Sure.
So the idea is that this is part of the group that we're developing them for, as well as the consultant teams, which will probably be more professionally oriented types of teams. That would be my other question, but I don't know if you're about to answer that.
We can't answer that.
Gotcha.
So I guess I would, the way you describe that is certainly one way to design your projects. I would just everyone keep in mind that we're also looking for projects that support resiliency planning in general throughout the state. We'll start at the left and we'll go around.
The timeline that you have that I asked about the calendar year we're on. Somebody asked about phase one and phase two. Is the phase one and the phase two part of the regional team work?
Right.
And then this grant will fit into that somewhere, but the consultant team work isn't on that timeline.
The phase one, phase two is associated with the regional team work. The consultant team work is associated with that process also. The reason we wanted you to be aware of the overall program schedule is to ensure that whatever you're developing can be developed in time to still inform that process.
My question follows that, and that is, it says products and resources developed by NGO grantees should be completed in time to be utilized by the consultant and regional teams at appropriate stages of the program, which I would think would be early in phase one. Does this mean this grant comes in September and ends in December?
So the answer is, it depends on what your proposal might be. These are very general examples and in no way indicate something that the agency is specifically looking for. If you're going to do a training, for example, that is necessary, very early on in the process, you would want to have that complete and have the training very early on in that process that we identified. If your tool for, however, is something to, evaluate the resiliency of the quality of resiliency that resulting from a plan, you might need to wait until that phase one project, the phase one planning piece has completed, right? So we didn't want to specify exactly when your work needed to be done because it might depend on what specifically that project is, right? That said, all of the funding has to be complete by May of 2022.
So just so we're all clear about that, May of 22 is the end of all Sandy funding in the state of New Jersey. There are not going to be any extensions whatsoever on those deadlines. We really have to are tied to them.
So funding is actually, that HUD deadline is actually September 2022, but we're trying to buffer. Yeah, go ahead.
I guess what confused me is I didn't understand what an action plan is and an activity is and how I fit into that progression. Is that defined in the RFP, clearly?
I don't think it's defined in this one but I can explain, right? So when the regional teams go through their planning process, that the steps in that planning process include things such as, a vulnerability and risk assessment, include development of, scenarios how the communities want to respond to that risk and vulnerability. And when I use the term scenarios, in this case, it's a suite of actions, whether they be planning or projects or policy, that would go into an action plan, right? That action plan is the deliverable for phase one. Implementation of, planning projects that come out of that implementation plan or that action plan are what is implemented in phase two. So that's the general regional team planning process. Miriam, did you have...
It was following up on that timeline question. So I haven't seen it all in writing yet, but when you ask us to put together a timeline, is that sort of like the scope of time we would need to complete the project? And then if you select it, will you help us to sort of figure out where it could fit into the bigger picture? Or should we say, we propose to start September and finish in December, not knowing what kind of how it fits in with the other thing?
Sure. So, one, just based on the amount of time it takes the state to, to get subrecipient agreements and contracts, you don't need to give us, a specific date, start date. Month one, month six, month whatever it is, that's a fine for our schedule. If what you're proposing was specifically inform the four regional team projects, mm-hmm. we do want you to be able to identify that okay. in the in your proposal. Again, recognizing that the best you're going to have is that very vague phase one, phase two schedule. Tom?
So, if your fund is through this NOFA, does that preclude you from partnering with the consulting teams later on?
We have an exact answer for that. So entities that are receiving funds or who may receive funds in the future through another grant or contract as part of this program are not excluded from this funding opportunity, provided that the work being proposed does not represent a duplication of benefits or a conflict of interest, and that they meet the eligibility requirements of this grant opportunity. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two questions, just going back to something you're saying about the four regional teams. So if you propose something, are you restricted from proposing something that does have to do with the teams, or that includes them but isn't exclusively about them, where you really should be doing something independent?
I understand. I think I understand. So again, we're looking for projects that can inform resiliency planning throughout New Jersey and the nine MID counties. They should also theoretically inform the work of those four regional teams. We're not looking for you to be part of that specific, those one of those four specific regional team processes.
And kind of related to that, so what we propose doesn't have to necessarily be relevant to all four. It could be a subset. I mean, and I'll give an example. A couple of these are more urban than a couple of others. So if we were doing something that was very urban oriented, would that not fit this? Because it might only be relevant to some of the teams and not all of them.
No, I think it would fit it. Right.
It would fit. Okay.
Yeah. So similarly, again, a project could theoretically be about a certain type of ecosystem or a certain geography, right? So as long as it's something that could inform planning, resiliency planning in New Jersey, those projects would be eligible. Dean?
Just another one about the indirect cost that you've talked about, which is always top of mind for university. So if what you're saying is if you have a federally approved project grant, that's the rate you use.
Right.
That's not a good one. I mean, it's good for the university.
Yeah.
Other questions? Tom? We did not include any page limits in your proposal.
Be merciful.
Maybe I didn't see that you get extra points for how short it is.
No, we did not.
Maybe you follow up to
Dean's question about direct costs. So I know the money comes from the federal government, right? This money.
Yes.
So university for Rutgers, so we treat it differently.
So I know for Rutgers in particular, right, there are different rates depending on who's doing the work and where the work's occurring, right? So whatever your federally negotiated rate is, whatever that is the rate you should be using. The guidance that we've gotten in the last 2 years is that there are no handshake agreements between the state and other entities are applicable. You're using your federally negotiated rate. If you don't have a federally negotiated rate, you can use a de minimis 10%.
Can I have second questions?
Sure.
This is called coastal resiliency. If a project which is strictly dealing with the stormwater, it's a management of rainwater, So how are you going to, would that be quantified?
If it can.
Is it in a coastal watershed, or does this have to be some kind of tidal?
No, so it's, yes, it would be eligible, right? We say coastal because, generally speaking, the nine MID counties are coastal counties. So, yes, it would be, that would be eligible. It does not have to be specifically focused on flooding from sea level rise or storm surge. It can be riverine flooding, stormwater flooding, precipitation, yes.
And it can inform any type of flood events in any part of those nine counties. We're not limited to the coastal part of those nine counties.
Even urban drainage, you know, that kind of problem.
Yes. Those type projects that address that issue would be eligible. Pete.
So in the RFP, under where you have the phases spelled out in a little bit more detail, the last section of phase one says creating the plan, and it describes that there, it says the methodology, the second sentence is the methodology for the evaluation has been created for the resilience and nursing program and will be provided to the consulting team. Is that methodology something that you have created already, and would that be something that we would be able to see?
The method, so the program is creating methodologies that the consultant teams will use across the four regional teams so that we're able to compare kind of apples to apples. The methodologies are not complete or publicly available at this point. Once the consultant teams are selected, those methodologies will be provided publicly.
This is another timing question. I guess it sounds like these will be selected, this grant opportunity will have awardees before the consultant teams are selected.
We can't answer questions about that.
I can't specify when the consultant teams will be selected. I think we include a date in here, right, about when we will announce?
No. We have a date in here about when we will announce this opportunity. We have no information about the timeline of any other funding opportunity.
Remind me again, when will this one be announced then? This will be
August 30th.
August 30th.
Am I looking right at that?
I don't know where it is.
It should be in here. If it is not, we will make sure that it is included. All right. I'm not seeing it, but...
Just a clarification, did the August 30 announcement is what projects get selected?
Yes.
For this funding opportunity.
Yeah. Yes, you can have subcontractors.
But those could be like consulting company or profitable company. Is that correct? Those are not able to...
Correct. Your subcontractors don't have to be limited to nonprofit ones. No more than 49% of your grant can be passed through to subcontractors, though. No more than 49% of your grant can be passed through to subcontractors.
If you do something with a partner, let's say two nonprofits came together as partners, one would be considered the lead and one would have to be the subcontractor?
Right. So this is to make sure that... that the state isn't giving the primary awardee a grant as a way to get around procurement rules. So we're here for another 45 minutes. Yeah, go ahead.
The project has a wider range of applicability across those four regions and possibly outside of those 9 counties. Is that going to be even more merit?
It's not, consideration in the scoring criteria. Right, the relevance of the project proposal, the first criteria, right, we want to make sure that we understand how it meets the objectives of the program and supports or enhances resiliency planning in New Jersey, but the scope of its applicability is not a specific scoring criteria. Dean?
I'm still trying to get clear in my head the relationship between the regional teams and those who cannot be named. And so basically the regional teams have now been identified.
Yes.
And selected.
Right.
And they are starting to do work, but they're deliverable in late 2020. Are there action plans?
So the consultant teams will be providing planning and technical assistance to the regional teams to develop the plans. The local governments and a CBO associated with those four awardees have specific tasks and requirements, which are generally to, facilitate local government involvement, facilitate the involvement of socially vulnerable populations, and to ensure that they are informing the process. But the consultants will be doing the bulk of the planning and technical work.
Okay, so right now they've been selected, it's being negotiated with them, the teams.
Right.
And then they will have a fairly light lift until the consultants are selected and fed into the process for them. Yeah,
generally.
Their role will be overseen, the consultants will take control.
Right, so it's the consultants will do the technical and planning assistance. The local governments and this community-based organization will ensure involvement from local governments and the public and ensure that their vision is incorporated throughout the process. Phil?
I saw something scary. It says, successful applicants must comply with the CDBG requirements. Those come from HUD, right?
Yes.
Had some really bad times recently dealing with HUD requirements for non-ownership of IP, identification, that just were murdered for my academic institution. Are those in there?
So I'm not aware of those specific issues. I would suggest provide us a question or information in writing and we'll try and get you a useful response.
And it does say that the CDBG requirements are on the website.
I can't promise though that link will take you to every single HUD CDBG requirement that exists in the world. So we are operating in a HUD CDBG world. So anything that is applicable to HUD CDBG programs is applicable to our program.
But this is a grant, not a contract, right?
Right.
Does it include, like, a federal rider or
things
like that?
Again, it's something I'll have to get back to you on.
I can't stick with that.
So We'll be here until 2:30. You're welcome to stay and mull over more. We're happy to answer more questions.
Thank you.